Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey guys, Through the Bible, Joe McGee. We are in the book of Exodus and we're going through the Bible chronologically. That means as it happened. So we're picking up in chapter 15 of Exodus. The Egyptian army has just drowned every stinking one of them. They're all gone. The chariots are gone. The charioteers are gone. The troops are gone. God got rid of them in one night. And so we're at chapter 15. So they're on the other side. They're watching their enemies float to shore. They're all dead. And so then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord. And so we've sung this in church years ago, and you just didn't know where it came from. So here's what it says. Exodus 15, verse 1. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. He's hurled both horse and rider into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He's given me victory. This is my God. I will praise him. My father's God. I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. Yahweh is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and army, he is hurled into the sea. The finest of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters gushed over them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, is glorious to power. Your right hand, O Lord, smashes the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow those who rise up against you. You unleash your blazing fury. It consumes them like a straw. At the blast of your breath, the waters piled up. The surging waters stood up like a wall. In the heart of the sea, the deep waters, they became hard. The enemy boasted, I will chase them. I will catch up with them. I will plunder them. I will consume them. I will flash my sword. My powerful hand will destroy them. But God, you blew with your breath. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Glorious in holiness, awesome in splendor, performing great wonders. You raised your right hand. The earth swallowed your enemies. Now this is a song, guys. They're singing this. With your unfailing love, you lead your people. You have redeemed. In your might, you guide them to your sacred home. The peoples hear, and they tremble. Anguish grips those who live in Philistia. The leaders of Edom are afraid. The nobles of Moab tremble. Those who live in Canaan melt away. Terror and dread fall upon them. The power of your arm makes them lifeless as stone. Until your people pass by, O Lord, until the people you have purchased pass by. You will bring them in. You will plant them in your own mountain, the place, O Lord, preserved for your own dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, that your hands have established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. And that's repeated also in Psalm 10. So it says this, when Pharaoh's horses and chariots and charioteers rushed into the sea, the Lord brought the water crashing down upon them, but the people of Israel had walked through the middle on dry ground. Now, this is repeated over and over again, so this wasn't an accident. This wasn't a magic thing. This was God. Then Miriam, the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine. She took the tambourine and led all the women as they played their tambourines and danced. And Miriam sang this song, sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. And he's hurled both host and rider into the sea. The Lord, my God, my strength, my song. We used to sing this in church all the time. He's hurled the rider and the horse into the sea. Says this, then Moses led the people of Israel away from the Red Sea. They're moving on. Your enemy's dead. There's nobody chasing you. We're headed to the promised land. It is good. And so they moved out into the desert of Shur. They traveled in the desert for 3 days without finding any water. And when they came to the oasis of Marah, the water was too bitter to drink. So they called the place Marah, which means bitter. Then the people complained and turned against Moses. Now, this is the guy that brought the 10 plagues, that made Pharaoh let him go, that's taken through the Red Sea. I mean, how many times, how many miracles do you have to do to get people to believe in you? So this, the people, they complained and turned against Moses. What are we supposed to drink? They demanded. There's no 7-Eleven. There's no Quick Trip. Where were you get something to drink? So Moses cried out to the Lord for help. The Lord showed him a piece of wood. Moses threw it into the water, and this made the water good to drink. It was there at Marah that the Lord set before them the following decree as a standard to test their faithfulness to him. He said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God, do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases that I sent on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. Now, for years, you know, we believed in the fact that you can lay hands on the sick and see him recovered, that God's redeemed us from the curse of the law, which was sickness. So this is one of the many scriptures that you'll pick up where it says, God said, I will never send you any of the diseases that I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord who heals you, not the Lord who makes you sick. People think God will make you sick trying to teach you something. God never does that. It's not what he does. He said, I'm the Lord who heals you. After leaving Marah, the Israelites traveled on to the oasis of Elim. There they found 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there beside the water. So it's like another miracle, another deal. So here we start in chapter 16. Then the whole community of Israel set out from Elim and journeyed to the wilderness of Sin between Elim and Mount Sinai. They were there on the 15th day of the second month, 1 month after leaving the land of Egypt. Where they've been gone for a month. There too, the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt, they moaned. I mean, they've seen so many miracles. Oh, if we'd only died in Egypt. Oh, we should have died in Egypt. And they're going to sing this song again for the last time pretty soon. There too, the community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt, they moaned. There they sat around pots filled with meat, ate all the bread they wanted. But now you have brought us to this wilderness to starve us to death. That's what God wanted. God wanted to bring us there to starve us to death. The God that's brought food and quail and meat and bread from heaven, God's trying to mess with us. Then the Lord said to Moses, look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for that day. I will test them to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. So on the sixth day, they would gather food for them and prepare it, and there would be twice as much as usual. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, by evening you'll realize it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. In the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaints, which are against him, not against us. What have we done that you should complain about us? Then Moses added, then the Lord will give you meat to eat in the evening and bread to satisfy you in the morning. He has heard all of your complaints against him. What have we done? Yes, your complaints are against the Lord, not against us. Then Moses and Aaron announced this to the entire community of Israel. Present yourselves before the Lord. He has heard your complaining. As Aaron spoke, the whole community of Israel looked out toward the wilderness, and they could see an awesome glory of the Lord in the cloud. Then the Lord said to Moses, I've heard the Israelites' complaints. Now tell them this. In the morning you will have meat to eat. In the morning you have all the bread you want. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. That evening, vast numbers of quail flew in and covered the camp. The next morning, air around the camp was wet as dew. When the dew evaporated, a flaky substance as fine as a frosted blanketed the ground. The Israelites were puzzled. What is this? What was it? They were asking one another. They had no idea what it was. Moses told them, it is food the Lord has given you to eat. These are the Lord's instructions. Each household should gather as much as it needs. Pick up 2 quarts for each person in your tent. So the people of Israel did as they were told. Some gathered a lot, some gathered a little. But when they measured it out, everyone had just enough. Those who gathered a lot, nothing was left over. For those who gathered only a little, they had enough. Each family had just what it needed. Is God smart? I'm telling you, is God smart or what? They had just enough. Then Moses told them, don't keep any until in the morning. But some of them didn't listen, and they kept some up to morning. But by then, it was full of maggots, had a terrible smell. Moses was angry with them. After this, the people gathered the food morning by morning, each family according to its need. As the sun became hot, the flakes that they had not picked up melted and disappeared. On the sixth day, they gave her twice as much, because you gather for 2 days on this day. And so each person. Then all the leaders of the community came and asked Moses for an explanation. He told them, "This is what the Lord commands. Tomorrow will be a day of complete rest, a holy Sabbath, a day set apart for God. So bake and boil as much as you want today, then set it aside. What's left is for tomorrow." So they put some aside until morning, just as Moses had commanded. In the morning, the leftover food was wholesome. It was good. It had not turned to maggots. It had not rotted. It was good. You know, the Bible said, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Moses said, "Eat this food today, for today is a Sabbath dedicated to the Lord. There'll be no food on the ground today. You may gather food for 6 days, but the seventh day is a Sabbath. There'll be no food on the ground on that day." Some of the people went. They went anyhow the seventh day. They found no food. Some people just won't listen. So they found no food. They must realize that the Sabbath is the Lord's gift to them. This is what that's why he's giving you a 2 day supply on the 6 days. So it'll be enough for 2 days. On the Sabbath, you must each day stay in your place. Don't go out and pick up food on the seventh day. So the people did not gather any food on the seventh day. The Israelites call this food manna. It's white, like coriander seed. It tastes like honey wafers. Now, man, that's a good flavor. People used to ask when I taught Sunday school, "What manna tastes like? Honey wafers? You ever had a honey wafer?" So we'd buy them at the local store, and we just pass them out. Woo, that's good. Yes, it is. Then Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Fill 2-quart container with manna, preserve it for your descendants. Then later generations will be able to see the food that I gave you in the wilderness, which I set you free from Egypt." Moses said, "Aaron, get a jar, fill it with 2 quarts of manna, then put it in a sacred place before the Lord to preserve it for all future generations." Well, Aaron did just as he was commanded. Eventually, he placed it in the Ark of the Covenant in front of the stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant. So the people of Israel ate manna for 40 days until they arrived at the land where they were settled. They ate manna until they came to the border of Canaan. The container used to measure the manna was in an omer, which was 1/10 of an ephah, and it held 2 quarts. Now, most people don't realize when you see movies about the Ark of the Covenant, what was in there? Well, the Ten Commandments, also 2 quarts of manna. Why? God said to. So the Lord, this was the Lord's command. The whole community of Israel left the wilderness of Sin, moved from place to place, and eventually they camped there was no water where they camped for the people to drink. Once more, the people complained against Moses. "Give us water to drink." "Quiet," Moses replied. "Why are you complaining against me? Why are you testing the Lord?" But tormented by thirst, they continued to argue with Moses. "Why did you bring us out of Egypt? Are you trying to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What should I do with these people? They're ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Well, walk out in front of the people. Take your staff, the one you used when you struck the water over the Nile, the one the elders came and the elders to join you. I will stand before you on the rock at Mount Sinai. Strike the rock and water will come out. It's going to come gushing out. Then the people will be able to drink." So Moses stood in front of the people, took the staff, struck the rock as he was told, and water gushed out as the elders looked on. Moses named the place Massah, which means test, and Meribah, which means arguing. What? Arguing test. Test by arguing. Because the people of Israel argued with Moses and tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord here? Is he with us or not?" So it's sort of an off and on process. Why? People are constantly mounting at God. "Are you going to do something? Are you not going to do something?" God's always going to do something. God said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll always be with you." Every day, every morning, I used to tell my kids, God's always in front of you. He's not behind you. God sees me 2 minutes from now. God sees me 10 minutes from now. God sees me 2 days from now. God sees the future. There's no time in heaven. Heaven is eternity. God looks at it in two time. So God knows what's going on. He's never surprised. He's never shocked. He's already supplied all my need according to his riches and glory of Christ Jesus. It's really good. What's God doing? Well, he's trying to get people. God's trying to get people to trust him. From Genesis to Revelation, it's over and over. That's why without faith, you can't please God. Without faith, you can't whip the devil. What's faith? Believing what God said. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So the greatest thing you'll ever do in your whole life is every day when you get up, take just a few minutes and read some scripture. I used to tell my kids, read a proverb a day. It's not that hard. Just read one proverb a day. If you do that, you know more scripture than 90% of the people on this planet. Just do that because that scripture will build faith. It's not something you see. It's something that's real, though. It'll build faith. And with that faith, you will please God. With that faith, you'll resist the devil. With that faith, you will live an overcoming life. It's going to be an exciting run. So get your Bible open, read a scripture. It's going to be good. Thanks for listening today, God. Tune in next time when we continue through the Bible. God bless. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family, and we're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.